This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
I'm your first Bad Ideas host, and my name is Gabriel Urbina.
I'm your second Bad Ideas host. My name is Sarah Shackett.
And I am your third Bad Ideas host, Zach Valenti.
And we are joined again once more today by actor, performer, human being extraordinaire, Cecilia Lynn Jacobs.
Hey.
Thank you for joining us once more for more bad ideas.
Yep.
Yeah. Tee up, Gabriel.
And why don't we go right into our first bad idea then? Are you guys ready for some terrible human decisions?
Oh, I'm ready. Where is this one from, Gabriel?
Yeah. This one is from ABC News.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a neutral source.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Not one we hear every day.
No.
If you are new to the show and you are just stepping into this chaos for a second, I see you about to dive in before we explain the things. No Bad Ideas is a show where we take just terrible decisions people have made on the internet and bring them to our friends and colleagues and other creative people that we love and force them to experience the badness and then try to turn that badness into a good start for a movie, book, comic book.
Any kind of a story.
Perhaps a radio fiction podcast series.
Now you're
Who
getting
knows?
Too ambitious, Hera.
Yeah.
Flying too close to the
what?
Sun.
What a medium.
Not in this house.
All right. Let's dive right into the first idea.
Was that a basement joke? Was that because we're in a basement?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Cool basement joke, Sarah.
Thank you. I tried.
Everybody strap in. This is going to be a punchy episode.
Yeah, sorry, Gabriel. Were you saying something?
No, I wasn't. Okay. It's all right. From ABC News, and dear listeners, if you would like to read along, there are links to all the articles in the episode description. Headline reads, Richmond homeowner stumped by stolen sidewalk.
Ooh. Huh?
I didn't know you could steal those.
That is where the sidewalk ends.
Where it got stolen. Why didn't we think of that earlier?
A homeowner in Richmond is searching for answers after the sidewalk near her home was ripped away without her permission or knowledge. Quote, I'm not sure who did it, why they did it. I didn't authorize it, and it's not in the budget, said homeowner Gina Koutalkis, who lives in Arthur Ashe Boulevard in the city's Fan District. Koutalkis told 8 News, sometime between September 24th and 26th, someone came onto her private property while she was at work, ripped away the sidewalk, and left with it. Quote, I normally park in the back, but I pulled up and noticed cones here. So first, they stripped in, and then after a couple of days, I'm thinking, okay, nobody has come back. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Koutalkis has lived in the area for 20 years and has never experienced someone taking her sidewalk away.
You don't say. I don't realize that was a anyway, go on.
After a month of looking for answers, what she really wants is to know who would rip away part of her sidewalk and how she can get the issue fixed without paying thousands of dollars out of her own pocket.
Understandably, yes.
Quote, I'd like for you, whoever you were, whatever company or body, whatever you are, to please come back and correct the situation, like I said. Neighbors have given different accounts on who may or may not have been responsible for the strange act. No one remembered seeing any kind of company name that could help.
What?
Richmond Police told 8 o'clock News a police report has been filed and a detective assigned to the case. All right. So, thieves steal a sidewalk from a home in Richmond and I especially encourage everyone to check out the article because you get to see the pictures of the actual missing sidewalk.
Yeah, there's no sidewalk there.
Which are, pretty impressive.
That's crazy.
That's nuts.
So it's a dark and stormy night.
Uh-huh. Wait a second.
Okay.
10 minutes?
Is this Richmond, Virginia?
Mm-hmm. Oh. 10 minutes on the clock. Tell me about this dark and stormy night.
It's a dark and stormy night at Rick Streetman's PI.
Oh, this is a film noir.
Yes, exactly.
I understand.
And that the phone rings.
Yeah.
Why can phone we not... rings, close shot of the of Rick policeman.
I walked down many
policeman stubbing out his cigarette. Cigarello.
Walked down a lot of streets. I never had a street walk out on me.
That's it.
We're done. We can go home now.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Yes.
9 minutes.
So, what brand of cigarette do they all smoke?
Lucky Strikes, of course.
I mean, it's a great tagline. Do tell us about the plot attack.
Yeah, right.
Well, so, I mean, where's Ryan Johnson? This is the Knives Out 2 sequel.
Right.
Oh, man.
But
does he have a different accent?
He absolutely has a different accent.
I mean, 100% he has a different accent.
So there was one line in that really caught my attention, though, which was, I don't know who or what.
Yes, right. Yes, that's what I went to. I went to aliens so fast.
Great. So I was going to ask, what did we think when we heard what?
Aliens.
Lovecraftian horror was where I was at.
Right. Okay. Some kind of creature that eats concrete or something like that.
Oh, see, I went straight to Earth Girls Are Easy. Remains one of my all-time favorite movies.
Oh, Jeff Goldblum, right?
Yes. And a 23-year-old-ish Jim Carrey covered in fur.
Nice.
Yes.
See, I think the key is to pursue the alien angle, but also keep Rick Streetman
P.I.
Yeah, obviously.
As the focal character.
It is this clash of genres.
Does he end up as like the guy that's in the History Channel GIF?
Aliens! Yeah, he is gradually over the course of the movie, slight physical alterations happen, so he looks more and more like that guy. Yeah.
Can we talk about the femme fatale in this?
Please.
In this thing? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I'm just very curious. I feel like there, you know, like she might wear a red trench coat.
Mm-hmm.
But then she must be in on it somehow. So she has some connection to the aliens. She obviously is the one who comes in and reports the crime.
Sure.
Not the homeowner, though.
Is she the homeowner?
No, she's not the homeowner.
Okay.
Oh, I was thinking that she was the homeowner.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
okay.
she was the homeowner and it was like some kind of like full double jeopardy sort of, or double indemnity sort of situation.
Okay.
Yeah. But
So does she go to Rick Streetman before the crime? Like just kind of going, hypothetically, let's say that a man's
sidewalk
were to take a long walk off of a short pier, if you know what I mean. Rick Streetman's kind of going, honestly, I'm not sure that I do know what you mean, but I love the way you say it.
Oh, God.
I'm so glad we're recording this.
There are so many possibilities. Like, just from a character angle, like, you can go so hard into the full, like full Maltese Falcon vibe.
But I love that it's in the suburbs of Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
No, and you know what I think is maybe
labradoodles everywhere.
Like that's a key, like the MacGuffin or whatever.
Oh, sorry, go.
Or no, that was like transported via labradoodle. Part of the way.
The labradoodle. There's
a harness team of labradoodles pulling the sidewalk away.
So
beamed up.
You know what I think might be the key to the comedy of this? That at least for the film noir portions of it.
Sure.
Rick Streetman treats it with a completely straight face,
as though
he was investigating a missing, case of bullions or something.
Right.
Everyone else that he's, he's going up to bars and he's talking to like the shady lowlives of Richmond and kind of going, does anybody around here see
the
a
kids
truck?
Under the bleachers of the local public high school?
Exactly. Yeah. Kind of going up and being like, did anybody see any trucks out of which fell a sidewalk? And everyone's kind of going, what in the name of Christ are you talking about? Right. Everyone else is appropriately mystified, but he just plays it straight. He is totally serious.
Is it then like a love story between him and the woman in the red trench coat, who is also the only other person
who takes
playing
it seriously
it in the film noir like register?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Trauma bonding.
It'd be really funny if they do this whole thing together in order to, you know, get the double indemnity insurance scam.
Oh, God.
And then just like nobody cares. Just like the police don't file the report. The insurance company never kind of cuts around to sending someone. And they've set up this whole elaborate thing.
Sorry, keep
no, going. Please.
They just get a check for $1,000 and nobody gives a shit.
I'm wondering if there's like room for like the character of like an upstanding city planner or something.
Oh,
that
sure.
Is like, you know, or like an arborist, like a wandering arborist.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just have one question.
Working for this
only
city.
One second.
Only one. Where did caring, the aliens go?
Caring for the leafy streets of Richmond, Virginia. I'm wondering what went so horribly wrong.
Yeah.
So the way that the aliens come in, I think, is Rick Streetman thinks that the femme fatale took care of the sidewalk. The femme fatale thinks that Rick Streetman took care of it. At a certain moment, they turn to each other and they realize neither one of them did it.
Yeah.
What happened
were
to the
gonna
sidewalk?
Were they going to pin it on the other one?
That's right.
Just at the end.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you just say, Cece?
The aliens are like a surprise plot twist at the end. Like, but where did the sidewalk go?
Oh, shit.
Outer space.
Yeah.
Right.
There's...
So I think that like it starts Maltese Falcon, but it really ends Jude, Where's My Car?
Ooh.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one.
I think that like, by the end of it, it is just a farce.
There's just a giant dog that is the alien that Rick's treatment has to face down.
Yeah. A labradoodle? You're pulling the labradoodles back in?
Yeah.
Okay. It's all going to come together at the end.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Intricately plotted.
Yeah. Actually, can there be a scene where everybody goes onto a bicycle and puts the sidewalk in the, like a chunk of the sidewalk in the basket?
Yeah.
To bring you like this.
Something like that?
Yes. And they need to sort of get past the police cordon.
Yeah, something like that. Like
Are
a little bit
from E.T.?
Yes. Okay. A little bit Stranger Things, a little bit E.T.
A little bit of everything. Yeah.
You know.
This is the best episode of Futurama never made.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, guys, the more the more I think about it, the more I kind of want this to be an episode of the ongoing adventures of Rick Streetman.
Oh, man.
Really, like, specialist in petty crime. Emphasis on the petty, you know.
Except like three episodes in, he also has to ditch the cigarettes, and so there's just like a close zoom onto some kind of nicotine patch adhesive coming away and then slapping onto some part of his body and continuing.
Who plays like, Mr. Streetman?
Oh gosh.
Well, you guys think about that. He's just like chewing on gum really awkwardly in close up.
Yeah. Just like the
some point
yeah,
somebody
like
gives
the
him a vape.
The Nicorette package.
Just
right.
By
and
it.
It's but it's edited so that like every unwrapping feels like a really hard cut.
Oh yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
Very edgy angles of
Alan Alda.
Oh, no.
Wow. I would not have gone there.
Right. That's a good
He's a funny
pull.
Man.
Yeah.
Wait, who's Alan Alda?
He's lanky and awkward.
He was the lead in MASH way back in the day.
He was the grandpa in Little Miss Sunshine, right?
Yes. Awkward. That was Alan Arkin.
Alan Arkin, excuse me. Never mind.
Alan Alda played the John McCain analog in later seasons of The West Wing.
Huh.
Oh,
that guy.
That guy.
Right.
That guy. That guy. It could be him. Yeah. I went a different direction.
So he's definitely like an older PI. Like Rick Streetman is in his 60s, if not 70s.
Rick Streetman's been around the block. You know what I'm saying?
He's walked around it.
And now there's no crime too small. And there are many crimes that are too big.
Most beautiful. In the last 35 seconds, how does it end?
It's so tragic.
It never ends. This is a long-running serial television show.
Guys, this is getting closely similar to King Lear.
Oh, no.
Holy shit. It's like, what? Femme Fatale is in fact named Goneril.
The Labradoodle is called Fool.
No, the Labradoodles are the witches. Yeah. And the aliens are the fools.
That's time. That's time. We need to draw a curtain.
I couldn't say my thing.
Sorry, please.
Because instead of Alan Alda, we should definitely have Hottie McCotterson from the the BBC crime fighting vicar. James Norton?
I believe, yeah. He was in the new Little Women.
Yes. Him.
And
Blondie McChiseled face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Grantchester.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my, is a chiseled face.
Yes, right? Ooh,
what is his actual name?
James Norton. I just looked it up. Zach, check out those cheekbones.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay, you guys need to leave.
All right, by request of one of the hosts, we're all momentarily leaving, but we'll be right back.
Leave your computer.
So fine.
Hey everyone, it's Bad Ideas host number one, Gabriel Urbina, here with a very quick message. So, if you enjoy getting two new episodes of No Bad Ideas on your feed every week, if you like me, Zach, and Sarah just crashing into your neat, ordered existence, bringing with us all these tales of chaos and woe and the most ill-conceived bad ideas that humanity has ever had, and especially if you want to make sure that we're going to be able to keep on making this show, that there's going to be no bad ideas to go around in the weeks to come, well, there's something that you can do today to help guarantee the future of the show. And that is, you can go to our Patreon campaign and sign up to become a supporter of the show. What's a Patreon campaign? It's really simple. It's a service where you sign up and you select a certain amount of money. $1, $5, $10, however much feels right to you. And every month, the system takes that amount of money, it charges it to your credit card, and then gives it to us, the creators and the podcasters and the makers that are making the things that you want to keep listening to or watching or consuming in whichever way is appropriate to that specific thing. The reason why we're able to make No Bad Ideas is the people that already support us on Patreon. So if you would like to help us keep making this show, the best way to do that is heading over to our Patreon, which you're going to be able to find at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. Once again, that's nobadideaspodcast.com/support. Okay. Let's get back to the show.
All right, everyone. We are back. We took some time. We left the premises. Zach signaled us that the all clear had happened.
I need a cigarette.
Well, you're not going to want one after this bad idea.
Oh, boy.
Because, friends, I have pulled another gem from the subreddit, Am I the Asshole?
Oh. From the darkest depths of the ocean.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah. And this one.
Spoilers, are they an asshole?
Yes. Mm. Oh, my God. This one is going to, okay. We're all creative people who have sort of lived in the arts world, so this one is coming for all of us.
I might know what this is.
You may know what's about to happen.
Please, though.
And dear listeners, there will be a link to this in the description in case you want to read along. Uh-huh. But it's a Reddit post, so really, there's not that much to it.
Discretion advised.
So, am I the asshole for calling a student in my creative writing class feeble-minded twit?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Wow.
I am a creative
writer. Let's hear him out.
Well, I am a creative writing major. First sentence, off to a great start. Second sentence, I've always had an infinity for storytelling. Not affinity, infinity.
Oh, man.
I was writing dialogue.
Not for proofreading.
Yeah, it's funny because that's, yeah. They should.
Yeah, you would think. You would think. I was writing dialogue in the first grade. And by the time I graduated high school, I had penned hundreds of pieces. Most of which were Romana Clef's in the spirit of Hemingway.
You have had enough of a life to Romana Clef that much. What are you doing?
Hundreds of them, Gabrielle.
It's a very specific sandwich method, Gabrielle.
A lot of people counseled me against majoring solely in creative writing, but it's my calling. I'm in a year-long creative writing thesis course with 9 other students. Admission to the course was selective, and the coursework primarily consists of workshopping creative writing pieces with the rest of the class.
Yes. Uh-huh.
4 of the students are poets, which can often prove burdensome to the rest of us as they have very little grasp on the conventions of fiction.
Wow.
Because that's how that works.
Yeah.
Anyway, earlier this week, it was my turn to be workshopped. I turned in a 59-page piece that I had been pouring my heart into since the summer. The first chapter of a novel. Wait for it.
One second. The 59 pages are all the first chapter of a novel
based loosely on a girl I hooked up with during my freshman year. Thematically.
Is there a question in the room that this person isn't the asshole?
Thematically, it focused on the transience of romance, self-medication, powerful sex, and time.
Oh, no.
Time.
I'm sorry.
Is this Tommy Wiseau?
No, this is really good.
Pre-the room.
Is,
Oh, wait.
Oh, there's more, isn't there?
There is. We haven't even gotten. Yeah, because I was really excited to hear what the class had to say.
Should we just contain ourselves and give our annotated notes afterwards?
Sure.
Like a writing workshop?
Yeah, okay, possibly. Right,
possibly. To start, my professor praised my control of language and use of metaphor. Other classmates lauded the dialogue, which has always been a strength of mine.
Oh, and good SAT word.
Yeah. And, quote, the only hot girl in the class described it as raw. So I was writing high. Then Luke, a sporty douche who writes shitty poems, spoke. He basically tore my whole manuscript apart. He said he found the structure, a la Proust, confusing.
Oh my God. What? I'm never going to recover from a la Proust.
Well, he also found the cunnilingus descriptions gratuitous. And the protagonist...
You don't say!
This is that uncanny ability of Am I the Asshole post to just sneak in those douchey details right at the last
minute. It's like, it's almost, you almost wonder if this is indeed constructed and is a fiction.
I love this.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think that I've been in a class with this person, so it's very easy for me to believe that.
Yeah.
Luke, the poet, also found the protagonist self-indulgent and unlikable. For some reason.
Weird.
I obviously took offense to this and asked him if he had actually read the piece or if he was just, quote, a feeble-minded twit. The whole class gasped at this, and he told me I was out of line. After class, the professor spoke to me and told me that if I wasn't able to take constructive criticism, then I shouldn't be in the workshop, and if I insulted another classmate again, he would fail me. I realize I probably could have chosen my words better, but am I really the asshole here?
Yes.
Yes.
Luke went out of his way to bash my story in front of the whole class.
How dare he?
And it was hurtful to watch something so deeply personal be ripped apart.
So...
I'm going to put... Save your so. I'm going to put 10 minutes on the timer.
I just... There's so many things happening.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and mostly I just wanted to bring this to all of you.
First of all, I feel like this film has been made.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
This man is...
The handle you'll appreciate is the letter X, Faulkner-esque, the letter X.
So, Faulkner. He is...
Wait, that post was Romana Clef.
He is complaining that somebody found his Romana Clef account of an encounter that he had with someone the previous year.
Yeah.
In which one of the themes was powerful sex.
Yeah.
With not one, but multiple descriptions of cunnilingus.
In the plural.
Sorry, I just hear powerful sex and tell me what those powerful sex. Every time I hear it.
Someone somehow found that indulgent, you say?
That is what
I do want to.
The post reports, yes.
I do want to be clear on one thing, though, because I feel like we have a lot of there's a lot happening here. Mm-hmm. 59 pages is chapter one.
Chapter one. The first chapter.
Uh-huh.
And already there's been multiple cunnilingus. Chapter one.
Chapter one, y'all.
Powerful.
Powerful sex.
Powerful.
The powerful sex.
I mean, maybe it's just like getting the governor to read this book aloud. This is an audiobook.
I wonder what it is that made the descriptions of cunnilingus so gratuitous.
Yeah.
Like, what point of view does one take in that? I don't know. We're getting too into actually trying to be in this workshop.
Yeah.
How do we make a bad story about this? Or a good story about this terrible thing? Who is this human?
Yeah, I am very not sure.
I feel like between Bret Easton Ellis and
this is the thing. Like, there's enough
and Dear White People. Like, it actually kind of does a lot with
yeah.
Both of those things could have started with this story, you know.
So I think that one method of attack is you kind of do a very thinly veiled remake of High Fidelity. But now set in the world of pretentious literary MFA people.
Sure.
Instead of
a record store.
Instead of pretentious record store people.
But it's sort of this guy who is, you know, has had like all of these terrible romances that where he was definitely dumped because the other person was, insert derogatory term here.
Sure.
And he is sort of, you know, like on his way to be the next Hemingway and just kind of, you know, churning out all of these totally original things.
Right.
And
casually Casanova by night.
Right. And it's all about kind of someone finally going, like, you realize that, like, you're just writing about all of these relationships and that you sound awful. Like, you sound like the worst human being in your literature. However much, like, your descriptions may be good and your dialogue funny. Like, it's very clearly you, and you are very clearly horrible. And he's kind of going, what? No, come on. Everybody loves me. Let me, like, go on my, like, Everybody Loves Me tour. And it's about, like, him finally discovering what everybody thinks of him.
So it's a little bit My Name Is Earl, but, like, in pretentious writer land?
But My Name Is Earl featured someone that was only mostly unlikable.
wasn't there a movie with Jack Nicholson having to go back into like his little black book of people he slept with to realize that he had something to learn? Am I making that up?
No, I don't think you are. I think that's Something's Gotta Give.
Yeah.
I think that's a part of that movie, yeah.
Can we take this incident, this person, and their in all of their glory and put them in the plot of a different thing.
Sure.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Like what it, you know, like what it,
like
is
in the
there...
Rick Streetman movie, perhaps? Like somebody steals this guy's manuscript and he's like, I gotta get the best person
on the
case.
Or like, you know, like it's the story of the creative writing professor who's like trying to figure out how to reach
this
their
person.
Students. Shit like this is routinely dumped on their doorstep and says, give me praise. like some you know, like something like that. There's something in that realm. And or it gets retold from the perspective of the person that he was sleeping with and who inspired this narrative.
Right.
Something.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I don't care about this human.
Yeah, no.
No,
like,
this human, that was going to be like, I would encourage all of you to think about like either the writing professor or Luke.
Luke.
No, but I like the sort of switching up that perspective, whether it is Luke says this and then sort of finds this like very strange one-sided like war against him where there is now like this Romana Clef novel about him being sort of gradually published poet. Around the school. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. And it's like, how do I reach this person? How do I like find the root of their trauma? Like,
I think that,
or is it just more like, how do I survive this assault of crazy?
I think it's probably more of the second. Ew. And I think there's probably like an element of him going to the guy and being like, would you please stop doing it? And the guy for a while just, you know, stonewalling, just like, wasn't me. You don't know that it was me. I mean, your style, it is exactly like, you know, your style. That doesn't prove anything.
Yeah.
Just like straight up denial.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the haters back off version of this where we do fully embrace the writer's perspective and he's just terrible.
Right.
Like there's no redeeming quality to this person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They just go through and spew ridiculousness and bullshittery and like somehow end up being successful over and over and over and over and over again.
And then it's like Richard III, like you're following like the villain protagonist
right.
as he kind of, you know, is maneuvering these things.
Yeah, it's like a little Richard, a lot of, you know, like Richard was a lot of some satire, stiffs, some commentary.
Okay, time check?
2 minutes, 40 seconds.
Okay, so first, the Rick Streetman episode is very short.
Okay.
Because he basically just reads the post and then quickly writes back, you are the asshole. And then he smokes a cigarette for the rest of the episode. I was wondering, like, what if...
Sorry.
But, like, black and white, like, very, very high-key lighting.
Yes.
Right, it's, like, a very slow, like, he reads it in voiceover all the way to the bottom. And
oh,
then
God.
Just, like, hunt pecs for the keys because
yes.
he isn't a touch typer.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Woof. But yeah, so I guess I doubt that this person has actually had the sexual experiences he writes about because he's
Zach,
terrible.
You shock me.
And so I'm thinking that maybe this is in fact the coming of age romance between this terrible author and the poet. And so maybe they, you know, it's like opposites attract.
Right.
Yeah.
Sort of you like, know, mm-hmm. there is.
Can't get you out of my head.
Either that or like a Cyrano sort of situation where like the poet is trying to court someone and somehow ends up like through some contrivance ends up recruiting this guy to sort of help to like workshop his love letters or whatever. And in the process of that.
Into worthless schlock?
For powerful.
That's the thing, yeah.
She's just a big fan of John Updike.
That's right, yeah. No, and I think it's... And I think it is one of these kinds of like, okay, so on the pro side, you know how to write and you can like describe things very well. On the con side, your soul is non-existent. I'm going to have
my soul in your dialogue.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
I'm going to have to teach you how
You've
to human.
You've been writing dialogue.
I'm
going to
have some powerful sex by the end of this movie.
Yeah, maybe not.
Well, in the 40 seconds you have remaining, how does it end?
Oh, God. I mean, well,
he
somebody gets...
draws from the class.
Somebody gets punched really hard.
Good. So hard.
Like, incredibly hard.
So hard. Otherwise, people will not make it through.
Yeah. No, I think that, in fact, you may need, like, a postmodern narrator that is like, let me play you a scene from the end of this movie. Pow!
Yeah.
All right, let's figure out, like, how we
Let
get there.
Let that sustain you for the next hour and a half.
And, then when something really bad happens, the narrator can be like, okay, I know that you're hurting.
Remember.
Let me remind you.
We're going to end up here. And that's time.
Oh, God. I think that's the only way that you could get through it. I think that is.
Wow. No, I think that's brilliant. I think we must do that. Yeah.
Wow. So can we call it Romana Clef, Tale of a Dick Punch? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for inflicting that on all of you.
God. But what do we call it? It's got to be a Hemingway pun.
A la Proust.
There you go. Bruce.
There you go.
There you go.
Lord. Jesus.
Fuck Nerian.
Nothing should be ever described as a la Proust, except possibly chicken a la Proust.
What? Very bland?
Yeah. Wow. Shots fired.
No one is contradicting her.
Yeah, no. No one is rushing to the defense.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening to this episode, No Bad Ideas. Thank you, Cece, for joining us and for helping us navigate these waters.
Oh, dude, it's always fun.
Is there anywhere that you would like to direct people to check out your work?
Well, I've been saying that I would make a website for probably a solid 8 years now.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been a minute. So that might eventually happen.
One day.
In the meantime, I have an Instagram account. I have a Twitter account that I should probably pay attention to.
It's not going anywhere.
I got it to get Feist tickets once.
Nice.
That's nice.
Yeah. A better reason to get Twitter than I have.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've made some very arty opera films and dance films, and those are coming out in the spring at some point. And then in the meantime, I'll just be like dreaming ideas and working on performy things and seeing what happens next.
Perfect.
Yeah. Nice. If people wanted to find you on Instagram, where would they go?
I think I'm the only Cecilia Lynn Jacobs there.
Nice.
Yeah. You just put in the name and it'll show up. It's a picture of my face.
Excellent.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. Cheers. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you everybody for listening.
Oh, it's always great to be here.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist member, Rena Sarame. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.